So we're continuing on with our bit of a series, just that period before Pentecost when Jesus has been risen and there's 40 days and then he's taken up, and just the encounters that people were having with him. And this morning I want to just talk out of Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 11. We get to the nitty-gritty and next week, and then camp is actually on the weekend of Pentecost, when we celebrate the beginning of the church, the start of the church, the Holy Spirit poured out. What a time for us to be celebrating at camp. Amen? Last week I was talking about the Great Commission, and Jesus, you know, spoke to his disciples, and he said, you know, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth, and therefore go. And every one of you remembers everything I said last week. But there was one slide I didn't slip in, and I wanted to put it in. If you wouldn't mind just putting that picture up. A couple of powerful men of God. I don't know if you recognize the guy on the right, if you can read the name. He's sitting right over there. He sent me this a while back, and what is amazing is God has a great sense of humor. We are in the same class, and we didn't know it. And two powerful men of God called to the nations. Hallelujah. And I was trying to read. Mine was, it doesn't say it in this, on my yearbook, the first yearbook, it said, "Wake up, Leonard, it's time for coffee." And when Terry sent me this picture, his comment was, "Maybe the least likely to succeed." It's just amazing to me. And to see you sitting here in church with your family, and God has a sense of humor. He just goes around and around. Last week I mentioned Russell and Helen. They've been part of our life since 2008, or before that probably, but he's been in charge of finance and accounting and doing the books and keeping us faithful and serving the Lord here in this house, and everybody loves Russell and Helen, and I keep saying, I'm nice too. But isn't God amazing? He doesn't quit. He just keeps working in our lives, and we just keep saying yes, and we follow hard after God, and he does amazing things. You can take those. See, I used to have hair. You see that? You're doing better than me. You must be living better. Get that picture off of there already. Thank you. Let's get back to holy things. But I want to talk about waiting with expectation. And this little portion of scripture, if I just refer to that picture, don't put it back, but when I was in college back then, and we were in college back then, who would have ever guessed the life that God laid out for us? And there's things that I would wish would have never happened, and there's things that when I look back, I just see amazing how God used and worked through it all and worked together all things for good. And it's just this amazing his plan. And he's this portion of scripture we're talking about this morning, it's challenging us to wait. It's challenging us to believe God, to trust God, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit until he comes. You know that if there's about six huge themes in these few verses. He's coming back. Are you living like that? You know, we were talking about that in the prayer this morning. When we got saved, I don't know how it was for you, Terry, Brian and I got saved in 1974. Everything was about the coming of the Lord. Every day we kind of just, is this it? Like, hardly even worth getting a job because Jesus is going to come back. And one wild-eyed preacher, poor theology, don't listen to it. He said, just give this morning. Put it on your credit card. Let the Antichrist pay the bill. Jesus is coming back. So I'm thankful I never did that, but the bills would still be here. But we are living with an expectation of God pouring out His Spirit, of God ministering, healing, of Him coming back for us. The power of the Spirit is available to us. All these things. Hallelujah. And when we were praying here at the altar, this is for free, but about two or three of the four or whatever I prayed for, it's life and death stuff. That's what's happening when we pray with people. Their whole entire future of their husband, their children, whatever, their health, their life. We're praying, believing God for miracles. Amen? And when people come and believe and stand and ask for prayer, pray with us. Be part of it. Pray, come. Let God speak through your life, through my life, to people and to encourage them. So I'm praying the prophetic stirs up as we get ready for camp in a week or two. Frank's excited. He writes all the time. He's the most faithful texter, encouraging. And he sent me the wrong text this morning and then had to apologize, say, sorry, that was for someone else. That's okay. You get old, things happen. But he's getting excited for camp, and we're looking forward to that time together. So is it today is the last day? Friday is the last day to register. So you have the few days, please register. Get in, be part of it. And like Drew said, don't come here on that Sunday. Well, you can come, but have a good time. We're going to be celebrating. And register and come. I know there's some who are coming for the day. It's fine. If you want to drive out for the Sunday morning, get on the list. Make sure you let the camp know, let us know. We have to have the registration. There's rules at camp, but we'd love for you to be part of it and come and join with us. Amen? So that's for free. Okay, let's read the book of Acts, chapter 1. I'm reading out of NIV, so if you want to just follow. I'm just going to go back a little bit because Luke is finishing up from his Gospel of Luke, and that's where I read last week, and now he's coming into this, and he says, in my former book, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convicting proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And one of those occasions, while he was eating with them, he gave this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now this text, he says, so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set before his own by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I mean, if you haven't heard these verses, you haven't been in church. I don't know. Amen? After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. And they were looking up intently into the sky as he was going. Can you imagine that? Imagine if I just go. I would love that. I'd love to see your faces. I should have a big rope on and just go. Okay, you're on your own now. And they're looking intently. That must have been intently. Like, I don't know what else you would say. When suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? Well, I mean, Jesus just went up there. It's like, okay, we won't look up there. You know why he's saying this thing. Why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go. May God bless his holy, infallible, anointed word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So I have 4, 5, 20 points. I don't know. Let's talk about the first one. He says, they ask him, will you at this time? And the thought that jumps out to me, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I usually do when I say that, but there's seasons of life. And that's why, you know, I went back to those pictures. Come sit. Wow. Is somebody putting on some messages through their phone onto our TV? What's happening here? Okay, let's sit down. That's it. It's done. Sounds good to me. This place is going crazy. What season are you in? I don't want to talk long about it, but there's this weird need for us many times to know what God's doing. Like, what's going to happen? Show me my future. What are you going to restore to Israel, the kingdom? And he says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. I remember Lori and I, many years ago, I don't remember if we were in Bukoba or where we were in our life, and we're praying, like, you know, there's just those seasons when you're saying, God, we need an answer. We need to make some decisions and where we're headed and what's going on. And we're praying. We take out Oswald Chambers' little devotional book, Utmost for His Highest, and it just happened to be that day, whatever day. We're just following through, and we open it, and he quotes Jesus, where Jesus talks in the book of Luke before, but he says, He will not show you his plans. He will show you himself. I will show you the Father, and that'll be enough. And I think that's the truth. We were like, it was just like, you know, when something just hits you straight in your heart, and it was like, yeah, that's what we, okay, Father, we trust you. Let's just come back to we trust you. We don't know exactly the next steps, but we're going to trust you for today, and we're going to see your hand upon our lives, and it just helped us to see clearly. And Jesus tells these guys, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. The Father knows. Trust him. Believe that God is working and knows what he's doing. What it is a great opportunity to trust God. And I was talking with someone this week, and you know, we love the story of, pick one, Joseph. 22 years from the time he had the vision, everybody's bowing down, it's a beautiful thing. Oh, it's wow, that's amazing. 22 years later, until he's standing before Pharaoh out of prison. It's so easy for us to just, oh man, God is amazing how he used Joseph. He works all things for good. 23 years from the pit to the prison to, you know, till he finally gets to the palace. What about Moses? It just rolls off the tongue. You know, as a preacher, I love to say it. You know, 40 years he thought he was everything. 40 years he knew he was nothing. And then 40 years God could use him. Man, I still got a long way to go till God can use me for those last 40 years. It's just so easy to speak about it. But when you're in it, when you're wrestling, you're saying, God, when? How? I don't see the answer. He says, trust me. The Father knows. That's what I take away from this scripture. He says, it's not for you to know. Relax. The Father knows. Trust him. And then he goes on. Maybe I'll ask you, what season are you in? Are you in a frantic, are you in a hard season? Hang on. I thank God that there's seasons that have been sweet. And then there's been those tough ones, and we've talked about them. And you got to have a theology that allows for the suffering. Otherwise, bring your theology into the really world. You know, if you say everybody must be healed every time, all the time, then live that. Let's see it. Bring it into your life. Bring it into the real world we live in. The real world we live in is we trust God. And we've seen miracles, and he can heal, and he can raise the dead, and he can put a guy in prison for years and leave him there a little extra. When Joseph was saying, you know, remember me to the king. Okay, two more years for you, Joseph. Finally, the guy, oh, I forgot, there's this guy. Where are you at in your walk? And I pray that for all of us, and I thank God for sweet seasons, amazing seasons, to where you can just, you know, one of the words this morning was just to settle, just to find some peace. Whatever circumstance you're in. Talking with Jeff this week, he said, Psalm 1, you know, they'll be like trees planted by the water, bearing fruit in season. That's how you bear fruit in season. You get planted. You sink your roots deep into God, in his word, in his spirit, into his house, into this house. You know, if you think about being planted, sorry, this is for free as well. Come into a house of God, a family of God, and there's many in the city, and if you're visiting, thank you. If this is where God's put you, push in and get in. But think about it in the terms of children growing up together. When I see this little mob of kids running out of here, and as we're praying, you know, you keep one eye open, you can see them sneaking. They're already going. And they're, They're looking at their friends. Like, that's life stuff. And you grow up together and you mature. And we've seen, you know, with our own kids, they go through the kids' ministry, then the youth, and then they start leading, and then they start getting married. And each time, the next group is just an example for the next group. And you get planted, and you bear fruit in your life. And I've seen too many people, and it's not my sermon this morning, who just miss it. They just miss it. And I could, sounds like I'm being harsh, but man, they just throw away relationships so fast, so easy. It's just whether it's life or church or marriage or what. And I'm like, man, if you only knew what you're giving up, don't do it. Be faithful to the house that God put you in. Be faithful to the family. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to your walk. Be faithful to your call. Hallelujah. Secondly, he says the words, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. What I take away from that is waiting. They ask, will you at this time? Like, when? What? And he says, just relax. Most of us are not fond of waiting. Amen? I hate waiting, just so you know. People want a book. I have a phone call with Julius, the pastor in Mwanza. Remember 100 years ago we went to Mwanza, and 100 years ago we sent $45,000 for the church there. So I have a phone call with him tomorrow morning. I think it's 7:30 our time, evening. I hate that. He's like, okay, can we book a call, you know, whatever date, May? I'm like, I don't know if I'll even be alive. Just phone me at 7:30 and I'll answer and say, hey, I'm here. Like, it's like, don't book coffee with me 3 weeks down. Call me at 10 and I'll be there at 10:30. Is that okay? That's how God's wired me. And I know, whatever their names, Brad and Jen, I always look over here because that's where they sit, but they're teaching Sunday school this morning. That would drive them crazy. They wanted to plan. They wanted to know, okay, let's schedule. I know some of you remember Kerry Brown, who was an elder here for years. He had a book about that thick. And we had to write that in there. You remember? It's like, you can't just come with this quick stuff. A lot of time in our Christian life is about waiting. Just waiting on God, trusting God. He's not in a hurry. You saw the pictures from 40, what is that, 45 years ago? I don't know. How long ago was that? 1978, whatever that was, of Terry and I sitting there in college. It's like, God's not in a hurry. And he's still working, and he's still got plans, and he's still doing things in our lives, and we're still not over. Amen? I got too many stories, but for my kids, for Christmas, our Christmas, we would open presents Christmas morning. Oh, I hated that so much. Because I'd wake up at 4 in the morning and nobody else would get up till 8, 8:30, and we're screaming, we're running around the house. I'd get cold sores for 3 weeks before Christmas. Wait, it's like, so with our kids, we start, Lori's family, you open them Christmas Eve. That's better. That's easier. It doesn't matter because you still got to wait till Christmas the same. So I started saying, okay, Christmas Eve morning. How about two presents a couple days ahead? I don't care. Just open them. I can't do this. I can't wait. And the trouble is whenever you, even if you move it, it's sooner. It's still you got to wait for that day. There's just something about it I don't like. And I, in my life, thank the Lord, every time he's called Lori and I into something like go to Swan Hills, leave Swan Hills, go to Africa, leave Tanzania, go to South Africa, leave South Africa, come to Canada, I thank God every time he spoke in like one day, in one moment, sitting in the little nursery there in Swan Hills. It was a nursery, that was my office. You know, you had to have an office back in the day. You weren't a man of God if you didn't have an office. So I had a typewriter and a chair and a Bible, and it was a nursery with little babies and things around. But as a man of God, I would go there. And he spoke to me, and I came home and I told Lori, I think we're supposed to go to Africa. She starts crying, and I can tell you the whole story, how I thought, okay, well, it takes a couple of years, you apply, you do this. And when we met, they said, okay, can you be in language school August 3rd? And I'm like, yeah, I like that. And it was the same to go to Africa, same to go to South Africa, same to come back here. It's like driving between Calgary and Edmonton with Heinz in the car, God speaks, yeah, we're supposed to plant a church in Edmonton, and it's going to be us. I thought we were exploring, and I was going to be the wise counselor to help these young families find their way to Edmonton. And God says, okay, it's you. But I thank God that when he speaks, he does what he says. I'm going to get to the promise in a minute. But there is that season, that time. And, you know, just so you don't think I'm a flighty guy, every time God spoke like that, it was 12 years, 15 years, 20 years of serving God after he spoke. So it's not like, it's like, okay, God, you speak, and he speaks clearly, and we respond, and then you live it out. And I'm stuck here with you guys. I'm glad you're smiling. Some are, some aren't. It's like, that's a little bit too loud of a laugh there, Kay. It's like, but I'm stuck with you, so it's okay. That's why God speaks clearly, and then he says, trust me, walk with me, I'll make a way, bear fruit, hang in there. Just, if there's one message I've preached over my lifetime, is for people to just live your life. Walk it out day by day. Quit looking for all the big, exciting moments. And there are those. But most of our life is just lived in the plot of faithfully serving, walking, living, doing the things of God. As Jesus was about to go, he left them with a season of waiting for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. They didn't, you know, they knew it would be some days, but he said, don't leave Jerusalem, just wait. And they waited. And the Bible's full of the verse or the theme of at just the right time. Not our time, but at just the right time, God sent his son. At just the right time, he steps in. Just his timing is perfect. But what takes the test is for us to trust him and to believe what he says. You know, the Bible says to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You know those verses. And at the right time, at the right moment, he will lift you up. And, you know, if you use the example, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Wherever his hand is, that's where you want to be. Amen? If his hand's here, you don't want to be here. If his hand's here, hello. It's like, just humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And he has perfect timing for our lives. David and Bathsheba, you say, what's he got to do with it? That's a picture of, maybe I'll reverse it, David and Goliath. That's the right man at the right time at the right place. David and Bathsheba, the wrong guy, the wrong time, in the wrong place. And we don't want that. Amen? That's pretty straightforward. Are you the right man, the right woman, at the right time, in the right place? Just because you're walking in pace with God. You know, I don't know if we preach much about it anymore, but there was seasons when, you know, the heartbeat of God. And we get in time with him. And we're walking with him to the drum beat. You know, just to sing songs about it, just to preach about it. Just the right rhythm with God. Not too fast, not too slow, just trusting, walking, running when he says, moving in the things of God at the right time. I don't want to be the wrong guy at the wrong time in the wrong place, the wrong time, whatever else time, it's wrong, everything's wrong. I want to be the right guy. And when you get that sweet spot, when you walk in that place where there's just peace with God and they're settled, doesn't mean the circumstances have changed, doesn't mean everything's working out, it just means you and God are in a good place. There's a sweetness to it. There's a blessing to it. Next one, but I've got all kinds of verses here, but the promises, but you will receive power. God's made promises to us, and in fact, this whole chapter is about he's coming back. He's coming back. The same way he went, he's coming back. When we were at our MFI conference and we were sharing with some of the leaders this week, but one of the theme of it was to be anchored in the Word and all of that. But the opposite of that is to drift, to be drifting. And the one quote, and I don't have it, but I can paraphrase it, is we never seem to drift towards the things of God. We never drift towards passion for the Word, devotion to Jesus. Like, drifting never takes us that way. Amen? It's like you got to fight for those things. You got to actively get involved to see those things come about. Drifting will take us away. Take us away from people, take us away from the house of God, take us away from the Word of God. It's just the nature of the beast. And we have got to determine, I'm going to stay anchored. I'm going to stay anchored in this Word. I'm going to stay anchored in fellowship. I'm going to stay anchored in submission to leaders. Choose some leaders. If not here, find some. So I want my life to be accountable. I want to walk with people. That's what life groups are for. I appreciated all the testimonies of the life groups that we had this week, just hearing what God's doing in life groups and in people's lives. 2 Peter, he says this, 3 verse 9 to 12, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some would count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought we to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn." Sure. Just some light stuff. But that's what's coming. And we are told to wait. We're told to trust him and to believe his promises. And he says, this day is coming. When he was leaving, as we were reading in Acts, he says, the angels again, what are you guys standing here for? The same way he went, he's going to come back. And I've shared that story in Jerusalem. We've been there a few times, standing at the Mount of Olives, reading this exact scripture to a bunch of pastors from all over the world. And it just, I mean, that makes it real. This is where he left. And this is how he's coming back. I don't know how it works, but it's going to be amazing. And the judgment and the future and the plans that he has for us and this world. And his promises are going to come true. And what he says will happen. Let's look at another one. See, but you will receive power. No, that is the promises. Sorry. Hebrews 10, verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Psalm 145, 13, "The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made." Amen? 2 Thessalonians, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." That's Hebrews. Where am I? Hebrews 11, after this Hebrews chapter 10, which I had read earlier, just about hold fast to your confession. But what kind of hits me is when you read that in chapter 10, chapter 11 is this whole chapter about the hall of fame. And these people being faithful and faith-filled and never receiving the promise. And I'm like, okay. But his promises are true. And we trust him, whether we see it or we don't see it in this life, we trust him that his promises are yea and amen. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God promises that he will not let us be tempted or tested beyond our ability to cope. What does all this stuff mean? You know, this verse is, he's telling us that we have to trust God. God knows best. And as Drew said, and we were praying this morning, It's about being busy with the things of God right now. Not just waiting one day. His promises are true. You can put up the next slide. But he wants us to be a witness until he comes back. He wants us to be busy about his kingdom. He wants us to be wise virgins with our oil ready, with our lamps lit. He wants us to be watching and living for that day. And that was what Drew had spoken about, is that we get sidetracked. We get caught up, politics, finance, health, stuff, like just life. God knows we're living in this world that we're living in, but it's like he's got a purpose and a plan for us. And I want to be part of that purpose and the plan that God has for me. You know, we can run around, we can get mad, we can get fed up with God, we can question things, and you just end up right back here where we started. We say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to be a good witness to you. I'm going to be faithful to you till you come back. And when I started the sermon, I was saying, you know, back in the 70s, every sermon was about the coming of the Lord. He's coming back. Talking about, you know, this whole sermon this morning could have been about the second coming of Jesus. He's coming back. There's one thing we're sure of. There's one thing you can guarantee, is that Jesus is going to come back the same way he left. We don't know when. You don't have to be like a prophetic guru to see what's going on in the world. You know, back in the 70s, sorry for going back that far, but every book and every, you know, since then, just about every book was trying to tell us who the Antichrist was, what, when the dollar was going to die. I don't know, just, you know, the books that have been written. The only thing that's true is that he's coming back. Amen? And he's coming back for a church that's ready and a bride that's ready. And back in the 70s, when we heard that message, like Brian and I were talking this week, that's the message on a Tuesday night, I think it was, when Lori's dad was preaching in a church here in the city, Revival Center, saying Jesus is coming soon. If you'd come back tonight, are you ready? And that was enough for Brian to say, no, I want to be ready and give his life to Jesus. And I'm praying this morning, he's coming back. He promised that he's going to come back. Are you ready? If Jesus came back this morning, are you ready? And I trust that you are. And if you're not, you'd submit your life to Jesus. You would call on him, make him Lord of your life this morning if he isn't. And you'd say, pray for me. I want to be ready when Jesus comes back. But then more than that, if you're a believer here this morning, which I trust we are, then are you ready? Are you living like it? Are you being that faithful witness? Because the part I'm leaving out, in a sense, is the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk more about that in these next weeks. But that's the point of him pouring out his Spirit, so that we could be a witness, so that we could live a life that shows Jesus to the world. And that's what he's calling us to do, to be this example, to be this fragrance, to be this person, this family, this church, whatever, that lifts up Jesus to the world. And they say, yeah, there's something about that message that's appealing. That's good news. That's the gospel. Jesus loves me. Jesus is coming back for his church. He's coming back for his people. He gives them power to live this life, to give meaning to this life, and then he's going to come back for us. And we live like that. And I, you know, since the 70s, we've been waiting. I don't know. Maybe it's another 1,000 years. I don't know. Maybe it's tomorrow. But we're going to live passionate lives until he comes back and serve him. Amen? Whether we have hair or we don't have hair, it doesn't matter. We can still do a lot of things for Jesus. Amen? And when we pray for one another, we pray seriously. God would make a way for this young lady to be united with her husband and her kids again. God will make a way for this family to be settled. Court cases, whatever it is. We pray for this one to be healed, for this one's hip to be touched, for this one to be... I could go on, that's just this morning. God wants us as a church to be ready. He wants us to be a witness. He wants us to walk in the power of His Spirit. He wants us to have life in us. That wherever we go, the kingdom of God comes into the circumstance. Amen? Are you living like that? Are you anxious? Are you frustrated? Are you in a season that's tough? Trust God. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, give Him your heart this morning. That's it. It's simple. We make it so complicated, but to just humble ourselves and say, Jesus, I need You to be Lord of my life. Forgive me. Why is that so hard? I know the devil's screaming at us when people get to that place. What will people think? Or am I fooling? What is it? Like, I've tried. I believe God and it didn't work. Or what? Like, the devil's a liar. But He's given us a promise that He will be with us. We don't need to know all the details. We don't need a horoscope or some witch doctor or somebody to tell us what the future is all about. I know what the future is. It's Jesus. I know the future. He's coming back for me. He's coming back for His church. Hallelujah. I don't know how all that works. And in the meantime, I'm going to occupy. I'm going to keep busy. I'm going to trust Him. Amen? Does that mean every day, I just wake up and just float above the ground? Blue lights come off the Bible. Just absorbs into my soul. You don't want it anyhow. No, we have to be about the kingdom, about the things of God, praying, seeking, getting in His Word, encouraging one another, fellowshipping, ministering, trusting. Hallelujah. So this morning, you invite the band to come, you invite Drew to come, but I want to ask you seriously, if Jesus came back today, would you be ready? And if not, I challenge you to run to this altar. Run to Him this morning. When we say come to the altar, what that means is just a symbol. This is just a symbol of responding to Christ. That's, people say, why do you got to go to the front to pray? You don't. But when you respond to the front and you pray and God's touching your life, and it's a sign of, I need God. I need His help. I need healing. I need something in my life. And then when we pray up here, and you pray, let's pray like we believe God. Let's live like God is real, like He kept saying this morning. He's real. He's coming back. He's going to judge this world. I want to be ready. I want to be ready in Jesus' name. I want to be a good witness. I want to be a good witness of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
That's a call for all of us. I was reading in Luke 12, kind of preparing for this. It says, on one hand, blessed is the slave whom the master finds busy with his work when he returns. And on the other hand, it says, if the slave had known the hour, he would not have let the thief break into his home. And this world and the enemy it's always trying to break into our home, to knock us off course, to tempt us away, to make us afraid. If he had known, he would not have let the thief break into his home. And my question to you is, if Jesus was coming tomorrow, if you knew He was coming tomorrow, wouldn't our lives be different? Would we be worried about our bank accounts? We wouldn't. Would we be worried about our boss and like our job? We wouldn't be worried about that stuff. I'd be chasing people on the street trying to tell them about Jesus.